This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
I don't know. I want to let you know something about me. I tend not to do things because people say they should be done. I'm a little bit nonconformist that way. If you tell me to do something, then I want to know, okay, why? And until I figure out why, then I'm not much interested. And I think a lot of people are like that. So for you, doesn't matter, oh, the pastor said to do that. Well, okay, but why? You know, what is the rationale? Until you figure that out, probably you're not going to be all that interested. And I say all that to say, well, what's the real reason we're talking about just walk across the room? And the reason is so that we can become walk across the room people. And because walk across the room people are typically the ones who get used in pointing people to God who are far away from God. You see, the reason we want to point people to faith is because pointing people to faith is what God wants us to do. That's His heart. His heart. And we celebrate it here at Christmas time. His heart is to have everyone on the planet come to know Him. And there are many, many people far away from God. So when we point people to Him, we're just reflecting His heart. And that's the reason that we talk about walking across the room. And as a matter of fact, if you remember last week, there are three things that I said that we can begin this whole thing with. Number one is this: be willing to enter the zone of the unknown. Now, man, if you're going to give people the single greatest gifts you can give them, you got to be willing to get out of your comfort circle, right? Okay, it's so nice and warm here. It's just like the womb. It's so beautiful around my friends. No, you got to break out of that and go into the zone of the unknown. Then number two, he said, listen to the Spirit's promptings. That is, don't just do your own thing. Try to hear from God, what should I do? And then third, just do it. You know, just walk. Get involved. Now this weekend, what we're going to do is say, okay, well, what happens when we do get into that zone of the unknown? What happens when we do work up the courage and somehow we've done something that needs to be done? What happens right after I just walk? What should I do? What should I be thinking about? And to do that, I want to talk about another way of thinking of this. I'm going to talk about how to live in 3D. And what I mean by 3D will be apparent when I start talking about it. But if you want to live in 3D, it will help you walk across the room. And the first, you know, obviously there's going to be 3Ds. Does that make sense to you? You know, this is so beautiful the way I've constructed this sermon. There's going to be 3Ds. And the first D is this: develop friendships. Listen, the biggest thing that I'm talking about here is just developing friendship. Now, don't misunderstand me. Some of you are going, oh man, you're telling me that every time I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, I've got to make them my best friend. There's only so much room in my life. I can't make a lot of best friends. No, no, no. Of course, friendships take investments. And I'm not telling you that somehow that you're going to, you know, if you're witnessing every year, you're going to have 10 new best friends. But think about this. Look at Colossians 4. And I think this is so interesting. It says this: conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, those who don't know Christ, making the best use of the time. You know what Paul was saying? Consider how best to invest your time in those outside the church. Make the best use of the time that you have. And I'm going to submit to you, wouldn't it be a great use of your time when you work with outsiders, when you are working with those far away from God? Wouldn't it be the best use of time to include acts and words of friendship that would draw people, now first to you and then to Christ? Yeah, I think so. You see, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says something, again, that supports this. Look what it says. For Christ's love compels us. Now, there again, there's the reason to walk across the room, right? Christ's love in our own life. And then he says, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So we're representing Jesus. And the appeal that Jesus will make will come through us. And the first part of that appeal has got to be simply friendship. You know, I'm tempted. I'm going to tell you my personality type. I'm tempted just to say, hi, how are you? Do you know Jesus? That's really my first, attempt. Always, that's kind of where I'm at. And I have got to pull myself back often to say, hold it. No. I'm Christ's ambassador here. I've got to conduct myself wisely. And probably the first thing I just need to do is just be a friend to this person, being open to the people that I come in contact with. And if we're going to reflect the Father's heart, and I know you want to do that, then you know what we've got to do? We've kind of got to be in search mode. You know, we can go, is it possible to go through life and kind of ignore everyone that you don't know? It is, isn't it? And so what I'm saying to you, as we learn to be Christ's ambassadors, as we learn to love people as God would, then we've kind of got to be in a little bit of a search mode where we operate this way. We watch for ways, we watch for the people who need what we have to give, and we look for friendships, ways that we could be friends with the people around us, at work, at school, whatever. And you know what I think happens? I think heaven wonders, okay, is this going to happen? Will he lean in? When you meet somebody maybe that you could be friends to, heaven kind of leans in and kind of goes, okay, is he going to do it? Oh, is he going to do it? And then, you know, cheers break out. Yeah, he did what it took to express caring for that person, to express love to that person, to say, hey, I care about you. So the big issue is, are we willing to express, just reach out a hand of friendship? Now, that's the way it should be. That is the way it could be in our lives. When we have the contacts that we have, we just simply kind of get in search mode. All right, how can I be a friend to the person that I'm working with in the PTA, or the person that I work with, or the person at school? How could I say hello to them in a way that would be affirming to them? Let me illustrate, though, why I think this doesn't happen as much as we'd like it to happen. And I'm going to do it by just talking to you about a character named Jane. And think about it. Jane has been a Christian for 10 years. And 10 years ago, man, she was radically accepted, redeemed, and renewed by the Spirit of God. She thought it was the best thing in the world that she came to know Christ, and her walk with Christ began to thrive almost immediately. Man, she was learning how to care and give compassion to the people around her, how to be concerned, and more than anything, she wanted to see the people in her circle to come to know Christ, her friends, her family. And so she would love on these people. She would tell them what happened to her. She would witness. And then, lo and behold, you know, a few years into this, a lot of her circle have come to know Christ. And they're following Christ now, too. And guess what? Then she, because of that, she likes to get together with her friends and talk about how wonderful Jesus is and what the Lord's doing in her life. And it all is so great. You know, can you imagine? That's a pretty good deal when you get to be with friends and who know Christ, and it's such a beautiful thing. But then something strange happens to Jane. And what happens is this. After just a few years, her life becomes 100% consumed by the friends who love Jesus. And therefore, you know, there's only so much time in life, right? There's only so many activities you can do. And so, yes, that it's good that we have fellowship with other believers, but she just no longer feels much enthusiasm for reaching out to the people around her who don't know Christ, who are far away from God. And so she kind of just no longer embraces people who are a little different than her because she's more comfortable with the people in her circle. And I just think, doesn't that happen kind of naturally in the Christian life? Doesn't it really? Let's be honest about that. If you've been following the Lord 10 years, 20 years, then pretty soon you realize, I don't even know any people who don't know God. And because you don't, then you kind of tend to stay in that little circle. We isolate ourselves in the church if we don't watch it. We isolate ourselves as individuals. So that's a difficult deal. And then I'm going to be clear here. There's not only that going on. Now, we've got this whole Jane thing going on where we just, after a few years, we don't even know any Christians. And I'm going to tell you another factor that keeps us isolated from friendships with other people far from God. And that's just this. Yes, we get comfortable with the Christians, but then too, we're human beings. All right? And because we are human beings, we have something going on in our life. And here's what it is. It is often quite easy to love certain kinds of people. We love our spouse. We love our parents. We love our kids. We love some of those certain friends at work who we relate to. We love our friends at church. And so we get used to kind of loving people that kind of like us or like us and we agree with. And so we want to be with them. We want to bless them. We want to relate to them. And it's true, though, that for almost all people, not only are there certain kind of people that we love, but isn't it true that there are certain people that we don't like? Let's just be real about this. There are certain kinds of people that we don't like, that irritate us, and maybe it stems from the fact that, you know, back so-and-so, that kind of person hurt me, or that business partner took advantage of me, or there are certain ways that we grow to dislike these kinds of people. But we certainly have maybe some good reason sometimes. But you know what? What happens is this. Pretty soon, we can begin to essentially isolate ourselves based on whether we like a person or don't like them, whether we respect them or whether we don't respect them. And we can kind of get in this mode where we're just not around people who we don't like. And so some of us, and by the way, some of us don't even like whole groups of people, all right? It's not just individuals, but there's whole groups that we don't relate to, you know? We can get huffy about, we can get all bent out of shape if somebody doesn't vote the way we vote, if somebody has a different ethnicity than we are. And if we don't watch it, it's not just individuals that we don't like. It's just whole groups of people that we don't like. But it remains true. I'm going to just say this. Sometimes we have a list. And on the list are the people that we relate to, and on the list are people that we will not relate to. And we kind of live by the list. Now, think about this. Some of you are saying in your life, now just evaluate yourselves just for a moment. Some of you, not consciously maybe, but unconsciously, you're saying, all right, if Art is asking me to somehow walk across the room to people far away from God, okay, that is okay, but they better be nice. They better not hurt me. They better be safe. They better be stable. They better be deserving. Okay, because that's the kind of person I want to walk across the room for. And so we put qualifiers on the kind of people that we'll even be involved in. Guys, isn't that true for some? Don't let me live in my sinfulness alone here. Isn't that true for some of you? Okay? Where we say, you know, this is the kind of person I'm going to relate to. And I just call them better, you know, I just call this list the better bees. Better bees list. Well, okay, I'll love them, but they better be white, or they better be black, or they better be pro-life, or they better be liberal, or they better be Democratic, or they better be Republican, or they better be young, or they better be old, or they better be single, or they better be rich, whatever it would be. And so we begin somehow to just allow those lists in our lives to constrict the kind of people that we'll be involved with. Now, do you realize that Jesus spoke about this whole deal? And I like to call it the parable trifecta that you see in Luke 15. In Luke 15, there are three parables right in a row that speak to this. And I want you to remember this. We can't go over these parables just very briefly, but I want you to know the circumstance. Here's Jesus in Luke 15. He's in the marketplace. He's having conversations with people far away from God. And these people far away from God, man, they have made a lot of mistakes. I mean, a lot of mistakes. They painted outside the lines. Their language is bad. They drank too much. They slept in the wrong beds, okay? They cheated on other folks. You know, these were not all that nice of people. And he's interacting with these guys. He's talking to them. He's somehow being a friend to them. And as the scene plays out, we see some religious sorts. They're scribes and Pharisees, and they become a little troubled in their spirit about what's happening. In fact, they're getting a little wrinkled in their shorts, okay? They are unhappy about what is happening. Actually, they think the whole thing is utterly scandalous, that Jesus somehow is speaking with these people who are not on their good list. In fact, they're on the other list, you know, the list that I talked about a few moments ago. And Jesus is hanging out with these people, and somewhere along the line, what have they done? They had convinced themselves with this self-talk, surely God has a heart that looks like our hearts. That's what they're saying. And he probably, on the inside, is just like we are on the inside, and he has a certain group of people that he loves and a certain group of people that he really hates. And he is interested in the people that he loves. And he's going to send to hell the people he hates. That's kind of how they were thinking. Wow, think about that. So the Pharisees just reason, hey, listen, if God insides are like us, then he's unhappy with what Jesus is doing right now. Now, sure enough, Jesus hears all this grumbling. They're grumbling behind the scenes. And he hears all that. And that's when he tells three of the most famous stories in all of Scripture. And they come one right after another. The first one, as you can see up there, is about a lost sheep. And the second one is about a lost coin. And then the third one is about a lost boy. And the first one, you know, starts with 100 sheep. Then he narrows down to 10 coins. And finally, it's about one lost boy. Okay? One son. Now, you know these stories. It talks about, you know, 100 sheep and then one dumb sheep that just wanders off. This dumb sheep just goes his own way, and it creates a big hassle, and they got to go looking for the sheep. Then there are 10 coins, and one of them goes missing. It's misplaced. And then there's this boy who asks for his inheritance from his father. And I've taught on Luke 15. You've heard this before. But you remember that his father was not dead. So asking for his inheritance early was kind of like saying, listen, you're as good as dead, so give me my stuff. And then he goes and uses all this money on wine, women, and song. And so he's in really, really bad shape. And by the way, I'm glad we don't struggle with any of these issues today, okay? You know, but that's what happened then. Anyway, these three stories, very interesting stories. And I imagine, can you think about it? Can you imagine one of those Pharisees going away? He's heard the story about the sheep, the coins, the son. He's heard all the stories. And can you imagine one of the Pharisees, maybe with a little softer heart, and he goes away and tries to think about this. Man, here I am, I've got my lists, and now he's around the campfire, and he's putting some sticks on the campfire, and he's out, and he's just, man, those three parables are just going through his mind, and he's thinking, okay, man, what does this all mean? And then maybe he gets a flash message. Okay, hold on. What did they have all in common? Oh, yeah, something wound up missing. Okay, I get it. That's what they all have in common. Something wound up missing. A coin, a son, and some sheep. I said, okay, I'm thinking that through. Something wound up missing. Now the Pharisees throwing more sticks on it. Okay. Wait a minute. What happened next? Okay, hold it. I got it. The thing that wound up missing really mattered to somebody. That sheep mattered. That coin mattered. that son mattered. He had great value. Okay? And undoubtedly, that son was a precious to that father. Okay. So now you can see this Pharisee going, okay, something went missing. It had great value. Every single one of them had value. Okay. He's thinking, okay, what is he getting at? And then can you just imagine? Kaboom! It hits him. Oh, yeah. Could it be that the father's heart is not like my heart? That maybe the father's heart is indiscriminately loving? That maybe that anyone who is far from God matters to God? Ah, he's getting it. Maybe everybody is on God's love list, and he has no hate list. That everyone matters to God. And could it be that Jesus was just living that out? Could it be that that the Lord loves that person who's far away from him, and all of a sudden maybe he gets it, just like we can get it? Listen, part of being a believer is to say, okay, Father, what's your heart? And then beginning to develop that heart. And our Father's heart loves every person who's far away from him. And that's the reason I say, man, 3D living. Start by developing friendships. And I'm telling you, if you're a student, if you go to school, you don't have to be afraid of the people in your life who are far away from God, just as long as you have good support and you can stay focused on the Lord yourself. People far from God need a word of friendship. They need an act of friendship. And you can help them. The reason I introduced you to Jane is because before you're going to agree to walk across the room and approach a perfect stranger, maybe, we're going to have to get past these attitudes. Isn't that true? Before you're ever going to say, oh, look, there's a person I don't know. Maybe they're in the office or something. Before you're ever going to walk over across the room to them, you're going to have to sort of change some attitudes. And you're going to have to get rid of this filter that says, unless you're on my list, I can't talk to you. Wow. If we could just do that, then we're going to be more open to the kind of friendships and getting out of our circle of comfort. Okay? And then maybe if I'm out of my circle of comfort, I'm going to walk across that room, and then guess what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit is going to begin to speak to us. Hey, talk about this, say this, whatever. Unless you do that, man, you're just going to freeze up. You're going to get out of your zone and say, oh, man, this person isn't the kind of person I want to talk to. Bam, and you back up. So first of all, you got to get out of your comfort circle, but then you got to kind of have an attitude that says, hey, this person is far from God, therefore they're worth something. And that's where it all begins. You develop friendships. But there's a second thing that will help you. There's a second D. I apologize for the 3 D's thing, but it just seems so reasonable. One, develop friendships. But number two, what you've got to do when you're developing that friendship somehow is you've got to discover stories. You develop friendships in order to, as a matter of fact, discover stories. And what I mean about that is just simply being a good enough listener, a faithful enough friend, so that the people who are far away from God can talk to you, can tell you their story, or you can figure out what their journey has been. You know, I love James 2:8, which just simply says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. Now, friends, think about it. Isn't it true that for yourself, you feel really loved on when somebody listens to you? Isn't it really true that for every single one of us, we have a need to tell our story to others? Isn't it true that when you come home at night, you know, and you're with your spouse, one of the things that you just love is that they listen to you, that they care about what they're hearing? You see, if we're going to love the way we will want to love, if we want to love others the way we would love ourselves, one of the things we do is we listen long enough to figure out their story. Now, the intertwining of these D's is kind of interesting. First, you develop friendships, but in order to discover stories, and we'll talk about the third D in a few minutes. But friends, once you uncover that story, you know what happens? It opens up your eyes to their needs. Many times when people tell you their story, you understand what the needs are. You know, a pastor that I know of once was a part of a motorcycle club in which he raced motorcycles. And he did it just to be with other, you know, he liked motorcycles, but he did it to be with other people who didn't know the Lord. And he met a guy there who raced motorcycles, and this guy was far away from God. He was living not a Christian life. He was drinking way too much. And this pastor just, he said, I'm going to be a friend of this guy. And he just befriended him and talked to him. And at one point in their relationship then, this guy felt safe enough to tell this pastor about his drinking problem. Okay? Now again, did this pastor invite him to his home? Did he start spending every waking moment with this? No, but he was a friend to him. And he was a friend when he was with him there in motorcycle racing. And so this guy told him about his drinking habit, and finally, at the right time, after months, this pastor was able to direct him to an inpatient clinic where he not only got free from alcohol, he also came to know the Lord. But the issue was that this pastor was a friend, and he was a friend long enough until he discovered the story, which often then revealed the need. Because people far away from God may look self-sufficient, but believe me, they are not. Now, some people will appear that way. My friend Dave Boyer, he was sitting here last night, and I looked down at him. I thought, oh man, he told me that when he came to know Christ, everybody in his circle said they never witnessed to him because they thought he would be the last one who would come to know Jesus, the last one, because he seemed happy in his sin. Okay, he seemed happy in his WSU drinking patterns. Okay, and it was just going to be fine. Well, listen, somebody became his friend, listened to his story, discovered his need, and pointed him to Jesus Christ. So listen. First of all, we got to listen long enough, and until we can begin to think about to hear what the Spirit is saying and how to speak to them. And then often we will figure out what the needs are in their lives. You know, now, of course, it doesn't always work out that way. I have a friend who's a barber, and he doesn't know Jesus. And I go in every however many weeks I go in, and my whole deal has been, I'm going to be a friend. I'm just going to be a friend. And what do friends do? They listen. And so I've listened and listened, and occasionally I'll talk about the Lord. He's not much interested. He hasn't been for the last few years, but he's not much. But I just keep listening. And so what's my stance? I'm patient with him, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, my job is to be a friend, and my hope is that at some point in his life, maybe perhaps when there's difficulty, he will say, oh, I can trust Art, and he will know where to find some food when he's starving, okay? Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And I still can be a friend to him. And I don't know, there have been other times, though, that, man, have you experienced this, that when you just are friends with people, when you listen to them, when you sense their need, that a door opens? Have some of you had that happen? That you said, wow, a door is opening here. I can actually be of redemptive value in this person's life because I've just tried to be a friend to them. And then when you listen to the Holy Spirit, man, you begin to hear it. For some of you, though, this weekend, man, it's been a long, long time since you stepped outside the circle of comfort. Can I just be real with you? I mean, for some of you, it's been a long time. And because the circle of comfort is just like the womb. It's just so beautiful in here. You know, I don't want to come out. You know, I want to stay in the, you know, it's, no, don't make me go out there, you know. And it's so comfortable. And yet, the Father's heart, again, is one that would say, no, no, no. People far away from God are the very people you need to work with. So, guys, get a little dirt under your fingernails, okay? You know, give this thing a try. You know, get active a little bit. that, you know, take the path that leads to investment in people's lives. And some people go, oh man, that's just too tough. Well, of course it's tough. We already described that. You walk across the room, it can be the toughest 10 paces of your life. Okay, there's a person. Okay, hi, who are you? I mean, it just feels strange, you know. But there the Lord would say, no, come on, you can do it. Give it a try. Now, that leads us to one third D, and that is, you're going to develop friendships so that leads to discovering stories. And then three is discern appropriate next steps. You see, isn't this fabulous? I have nothing to memorize. I have no, you know, here's the 18 steps that will lead you to the gospel. It's just, when I'm with people who don't know God, I'm just saying, Holy Spirit, help me to know what to say or do or whatever you want me to make the next step. And I'm going to tell you something. I think in our journey with people, we hit divine forks in the road. And here's what I mean by that. Just intersections in that relationship that you can either listen to a person's story and pray for all you're worth and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the next step, and then when you hear that next step, then you actually initiate it. See, there are forks in the road where people, they're ready. I can say, I can do that next thing. I can invest. But what do you have to do? You have to stick your neck out, right? You got to stick your neck out. So here are these forks in the road. Okay, it could happen. Am I going to do it? Yes! And you make it happen. And then, of course, at the fork of the road, you can also say no. You can also say, no, I'm just not going to, I can't do that. I'm not bold. I'm not, whatever. But walk across the room. People are people who live life in this kind of 3D way. Man, they're open to develop that those acts of friendship. And they listen to stories of people who don't know God. Maybe that leads them to even figure out what the needs are in their life. And then they discern the next step. You know, just a few days ago, I was listening to someone that didn't know the Lord. And man, he was talking. And I was just, you know, I know it's hard to believe, but I was just going, you know, and that's what I was doing. And then a need surfaced. And so I said to him, and I thought I heard the Holy Spirit. I said to him, now, would you mind, you know, I'm a believer in Christ, and I wonder if you'd mind if I just prayed for you right now. And he said, no, that'd be fine. And so I didn't make a long prayer, you know. But I just made a little prayer. And then he said, well, thank you so much. And then afterwards I said, another little next step came to me. I thought, hey, listen, I know this may sound funny. I said, listen, do you know how to play cribbage? And he said, no. And I said, every grown man should know how to play cribbage. And you need to learn how to play cribbage. Oh, yeah? I like games. Good. Listen, if I came over the next couple of weeks and just touched, would that be okay? He said, yeah, I'd love that. Could cribbage be a next step? I think so. You know, cribbage could be the next step. And I'm just saying, if we pray, if we are with the Lord, sometimes he will give us just next steps, just things to do to express love, things to do to be involved with somebody. So once you cross the line, you walk, just watch out. The Holy Spirit will begin whispering to you to say, oh, you can do this, you can say this. You know, just next steps. Would you listen for the next steps? The next steps can be any number of things. You know, you can go any number of ways to move in that direction. Now, I want to show you a very short clip. It's only a minute long. But this short clip, again, comes from Bill Hybels, from his book, Just Walk Across the Room. And I want you to listen. Now, when you watch this clip, listen for next steps. You'll hear it both from Bill, but also from the person he had been witnessing to or loving and being a friend to. Listen to next steps. Go ahead, run that.
I saw something so valuable inside Dave. And I remember just saying to myself, this is going to be a long, slow walk. He's got to see a Christian kind of walk the walk. I never put a time span on it. I just said, this is a guy I'd like to be friends with and let God do whatever God's going to do. I really wanted to make sure that it was God doing the work and me riding in the second position.
Before Regatta, I was preparing my little area on the sailboat, and Bill would come up and just ask me how my week had gone, how Beth was, maybe what had gone on at work. I mean, the conversations never really moved towards faith or Christianity. And it was just so refreshing to me that he was concerned about me as an individual and what was going on in my life.
I think really trying to point someone in the direction of faith is usually the summation of a lot of little inputs along the way. I don't think it's the big three-hour talk where you start with creation and end at the end of the Bible. I don't think it's a great big theological brain dump all at once.
I remember Bill giving me a copy of Case for Christ before it was ever even in print. And so in my travels around the country, on airplanes, I would pull that out and read a few pages. And I really needed that because I was so inquisitive about the science part of it.
Thank you. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Did you see some of the next steps? Now, first of all, of course, Bill was concerned about this guy. First of all, he thought, I can be a friend of this guy. He was discovering stories. He was doing all that. But then you did see some of the next steps. I mean, they're pretty simple. First of all, could asking about somebody's week and their wife be a next step? Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you could say, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? That's a next step. And it why? Because it made him feel cared for. It made him feel like, oh, this person cares about me. And then he gave him a copy of a book. That's just the next step. Now, not everybody would relate to Case for Christ. In fact, some people would not relate to a book at all. And so you wouldn't give him a book. But this guy obviously needed some help. So he gave him the book. So here's Bill just trying to tune into the Holy Spirit and say, okay, Lord, what do I do? Where do I go? Now think for a moment. If you came to Christ as an adult or maybe a teenager, can you remember some of the next steps that people took with you? Think about it for a moment. Did you have someone in your life who you would say, I remember they gave me that book, or they expressed kindness to me, or they invited me to church? That's a next step. Sometimes people are ready to come to church, and then you invite them. That's a next step. Can you remember some next steps in your life? Because remember, coming to know Jesus Christ is often just many links in a chain. Just a long, long chain. It's not the three-hour deal. It's many links in a chain. And often, the next step that God gives you, that's a link. Wow, I can be a part of that in a person's life. Listen, there's often a next step when you get connected with that person far away from God. And if there's one thing I want to leave with you this weekend, it is this. You have a profound privilege of reaching people around you who are far away from God with the radical love and irrepressible acceptance that comes in knowing Christ. And we can be a part of that. The same radical love and irrepressible acceptance that was exerted for you, you can be a part of. Just take a look at all the evidence right here this weekend of God's love. I'm standing in front of hundreds of little pieces of evidence of Christ's love that was exerted because God loved you and because people loved you. All of us, remember, all of us are damaged in some way. And so somebody recognized that damage, recognized the spiritual void, and they took some next steps. Here's what I want you to remember. In your day-to-day lives, there will be people in your life walking far from God. People with damaged hearts and broken minds. people somehow who have withered hopes and withered dreams. People in your life that if you'll just listen, you will hear the needs. And I wonder if even this week God wouldn't use some of you to be a part of what God wants to do. Now, new week is coming. And like all new weeks, we can choose our behavior in those weeks. Would you think about this week what God may wish for you to do? To walk across the room, to develop friendships, to listen to stories, remembering also to listen to the Holy Spirit so that you can take the next steps. This week, be spiritually alert enough to let the Spirit prompt you. Ask Him even to prompt you so that you can do what's necessary. Your earnest request is just simply this: Lord, let the Holy Spirit lead me in these areas. Lead me, I pray. And whatever it takes, if you'll be obedient to the Lord in this area, man, you're going to be able to say, I was a part of doing what God wanted me to do for the people far away from God.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.